Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day thus far. Darren McFarland, that's me, down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. So far, sunny skies, looking nice. Got some rain yesterday, for sure. Especially yesterday after the show. Lots of rain last night. But so far, so good. Looking like it could be a nice day. Willie Donick is in East Nashville. Chase McCabe over on the west side in Bellevue. And Elijah Campbell is back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Last night, I was going back and forth from the crazy Bruins Lightning Game 5, two overtime thriller, which, by the way, they had two, both of them had a goal in the third period, late in the third period, and to even it up and push it into overtime and then a second overtime. And going back and forth from that to Titans Ravens playoff game last year. I rarely do that stuff, but News 2 was showing that. I did. And I think what I enjoyed about it is you really pick up on a lot of things. You know, maybe the first go around you didn't pick up on. You know, just the more you watch something, you're like, oh yeah. And gosh, that was an awesome game.
That was so much
fun. I mean, both were awesome, but that was an awesome. I didn't think I would enjoy watching Titans Ravens Part 2, I think, as much as I did last night. Like, I picked up on Jonnu Smith had an incredible game.
The butt
that
catch.
Game. Yeah, he was Derrick Henry and Jonnu Smith were, and the defense, right? The defense was outstanding. And what stood out to me is what a great win, what a dominating win. I mean, what did they do, stop them three times going forward on fourth down? How many times did they pick?
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson. By the way, he was the first guy to ever throw for over 300, rush for over 100, and get beat down like that. But the two guys on defense that were a big part of all that were Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jarrell Casey.
Jarrell Casey was a beast.
He was the defensive MVP of that game.
And they're no longer here. So you do wonder how that will play out. By the way, Logan Ryan, speaking of, congrats. He signed with the Giants. He changed his agents and signs with the team. Imagine that.
For how much money?
7.5.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's about 2.5 less.
He had a $10 million
bet on
low bar, yeah,
and lost.
Lost. Yep.
I mean, $7.5 million. I think we would all take.
I think we could get by. I think we could get by.
I do want to ask you this, Darren, because you said you don't usually do that. When you were covering the Titans more on a regular basis, like you went to a lot of games, because and where I'm going with this is I was at that game, so I was in the press box, and all these moments you're talking about, I obviously saw from a different angle, but you can see more on TV. Would you ever go back and watch some of the games that you were at to better prepare or see things that you might have missed? Or did you ever do that back then? Or is it pretty much always been if you were there, you just that's what you saw?
Well, it depends on when back then was that you're referencing. You know, a lot of back thens, you know, you didn't have the options. You didn't have all the stuff that we've got available
That's
to
true.
Us today. So
early days of DVR or even these things called the VHS.
Yeah, where you actually had to hit record.
Yeah.
Like you physically had to go up there and hit record. Yeah, I mean, that's how we used to do it. I know.
I had a VCR with a timer.
A lot of people tilting their heads right now.
You could set the record timer.
Yeah. Like that's how we used to, like today it's, gosh, it's so much easier. So typically, no, but I know where you're going with this, and it is amazing because now I do find myself, and I think maybe it's just because of what we're talking about. They replay so much, you know, whether it's Preds games or, you know, I go back and I've watched more replay games, I think, combined in the last couple of years than I probably have my entire lifetime.
Yeah, because
I don't know why. I have found myself doing it more and more and more. Like I said, I just was flipping through. I didn't realize it was on because it was a commercial break or maybe it was an intermission of the Bruins and the Lightning. And I was enjoying that game, and I was like, "Whoa, Ravens Titans!" And I didn't, you know, it was I was locked in, and that was at the beginning. That was early on in the first quarter.
That's
and I was locked
game.
In the rest of the game. It was. It was a really, really good game. Like I said, Jonnu Smith, man, he played a heck of a game. I don't think I realized some of the big plays, the defense, and, you know, Derrick Henry's that pass by Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Have we talked about that enough? Like, that was Tim Tebow-esque, and just the Ravens had. And by the way, he had to make a perfect throw for that to work. He's a running back.
No, but he did.
He did.
And when – so there were – it was that play and then the Jonnu catch. So where I was in the press box, there was a monitor right above us, but it was in real time. So, you know, a lot of times you can look up and it's delayed, so you can see what you saw. But it was actually in real time. So Jonnu makes the catch in the corner of the end zone. So it was a hard angle for me to see. The person next to me – we looked at each other and we're like, did he just catch that? And then you see everybody diving over the desk to look at the Jumbotron because they were showing the replay. And then we all go, holy cow, he actually made that catch. And then, you know, we know they looked at it and all that. But then the same thing with the Derrick Henry. It was just those type moments. So it was a fun game. I'm glad that you sat there and watched it last night.
Yeah,
it was just a masterpiece, that game.
It was.
I think every key play in the game was made by the Titans because a lot was made about all the yardage that the Ravens ended up having by the end of the game. The yardage, once again, I try to stress this a lot. The yardage is important, but it's not everything. Right. If you just looked at the yards, you'd say, "Oh man, the Ravens they racked up I don't know how many yards, tons of yards." But when it came down to the key plays, the Titans made all of the key plays. It really won the game pretty easily because, man, when it was time for to make one, when you needed something, they came up huge in that game so many times. You just listed a bunch of them.
Well, Lamar Jackson's body language as the game went along too did not look good either. It looked like the Titans were affecting him, especially the picks. You know, you could just tell the look they kept showing him, and it's like, and he doesn't seem like a guy. He puts on a pretty good face. I don't really know what he's like. He looks like, you know, things don't bother him, but you could tell they were getting to him. They were getting to him throughout the course of the game because you could see his body language changing the later that game went, and maybe that was just reality setting in, like, we don't have it today. Like, this is not going to happen. And, oh, great, this is 2 years in a row I've gone out in the first game. You know, first game in the playoffs, we're done again. Because, you know, I mean, you know how that works. I mean, he'll get labeled. And
right,
he already has been. Like, he's great. He's a regular season guy. But is that going to translate? And quite honestly, you know, and I know it's game one, and we're jumping all over the place. But if the Bucks don't get out of this, if they lose to the Heat, Giannis is going to get labeled, right? He's a tremendous player, but he's going to start getting labeled too. Like if the Bucks can't make any noise again, like I said, I know it's game one, but you know, players get labeled and they have to deal with that. And I, you know, the Rockets, if they don't figure out a way to take games, the Rockets, they already are labeled, and they're going to just continue to be labeled. So it is interesting how that works with players or teams. And then you always like to see how they respond to that. Some do, some don't. And let you know Lamar Jackson, because you're already hearing that. Like, what are we, in the last 24 hours, what have you heard about Lamar Jackson?
0-2 in the playoffs.
0-2 in the playoffs, and what has all of a sudden started coming out of Ravens training camp? Oh, they seem to be maybe they're going to run him less, and he wants to prove everybody he can pass too, and they're going to do things a little bit differently. See,
You have to evolve a little bit, don't you think? With that style, it's inevitable that will happen over time, one way or the other.
Him getting hurt and banged up.
Well, not necessarily, but I think eventually, right? There's only so many times you can come out and run the ball, right? You are going to start having a physical toll exacted on you. It may not be this year. It may be 2 years, 3 years from now. But I think it's smart to be thinking that way.
Look at Russell Wilson. He's changed his game.
Well, yeah, Steve McNair. We've seen it, right?
Sure. I mean,
We've seen the price that Cam Newton has paid over the years for the physical punishment he's taken.
RG3 was one that he didn't.
Yeah, that happened quick.
He did.
That happened super.
He did. He didn't last very long.
Well, his first year, they did him a disservice. Remember, he got hurt and he tried to play hurt, and it was sad to watch.
Right. One thing though that you brought up with the whole getting in Lamar's head. That's something that I'm trying to figure out how the Titans are going to replace, because that's Dean Pees. That is just bread and butter for Dean Pees, of how he would just beat you mentally, and he did that in that game against Baltimore, because that's how they won. Getting in Lamar Jackson's head and taking that element out of it is how they were able to capitalize on all those mistakes and get the win, and Dean Pees was known for that. So can Shane Bowen take what he's learned? Can Mike Vrabel take what he's learned from Dean Pees and them be able to apply that moving forward? Because I think that's a huge part that they're going to be missing with Dean Pees retired.
I'm excited about that. I in reading up on Shane Bowen and getting to know Mike Vrabel more, I'm pretty confident that they have a good plan in place. I'm a little more concerned about the personnel than I am the scheme. And you know, with Vic Beasley not playing, right, and who knows what's going to happen with him.
Is he going to play?
Well, that's what we don't know. Maybe he'll play sometime, but what are you getting? You don't know what you have. I just feel like there's a need there for Clowney. There's a need. It's obvious to me, anyway. That's just how I see it from where I sit, and I haven't been to practice. But unless they've got something up their sleeve, some undrafted guy, and there's a great article by Joe Rexroad in The Athletic, chronicling stuff that we've hit on. A great theme of Mike Vrabel since he's got here is finding those guys, and John Robinson and the player personnel guys, the Ferksers and the Robersons and Michael Pruitt. Unless they find that guy who can sack the quarterback 10 times or something, who plays defensive end, they're still short a guy over there. They need another force, I think, on the edge. I think the guys they have are really good role players, but you need an anchor there. It may be time. It's getting crunch time with Clowney, right? The clock is ticking.
Yep.
And it's a gamble, because who knows what you're getting in Clowney, right? He could come in and not have everything physically that he needs to have together, but you're going for it this year, right? You're trying to win this year. What else is there? I don't know if there's another solution.
Well, I hope you're right on the first part that you brought up, because so many times that doesn't work out. So many times it's the right guy was in place, and we'll probably touch on that in a different sport a little bit later in the show. I mean, the Washington Capitals, they probably felt in their heart of hearts, without a doubt, that it was perfectly fine to move on to Reardon. And 2 years later, they're looking for a coach again. And so many times we hear that everybody feels good about the next, the next setup or the next person. But it doesn't always play out that way. I mean, Dean Pees, there's a reason he was in the NFL as long as he was. I mean,
the
guy was an outstanding defensive coach.
No question. But what I'm confident in is Mike Vrabel learned a lot from Dean Pees, right? He knows everything that Dean Pees taught him. And Shane Bowen has been under Mike Vrabel. So I think the philosophy shouldn't change much. It's that I think what you're getting at, Darren, is the – until you do it on Sunday and you execute the game plan and you know what you're calling third and eight, that's what you worry about. But we had those same concerns about Arthur Smith last year going into his first year, and he passed the test with flying colors. Doesn't mean that that's going to happen this year, but I just have more confidence in that. I'm more concerned with, do they have the weapons that they need to have a really good defense?
certainly that has to factor into this without a doubt. But I'm just saying, and I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm just saying it's some, everybody always feels good about the plan, right? I mean, you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody feels good, but it doesn't mean that that's always going to work out. So, I mean, I've been impressed listening to Shane Bowen. I've been impressed with. I don't know a whole lot about him. I mean, I know Mike Vrabel knows defense, and I know, you know, but he's now we're talking about wearing two hats, and I mean, there's just a lot of variables that can factor
well,
into this.
Do we think he's actually wearing two hats? I mean, or is Shane Bowen the guy without
wearing,
the title?
I think they're wearing two hats. He's wearing two hats, but I mean, obviously, he's got a right hand man. I mean, that's very clear. He's got somebody that's, you know, whatever.
I think he's auditioning. I think that's safe to say that Shane Bowen's auditioning at least.
I mean, if you say the only thing he's lacking is the tag, then if you felt that good about him, then why wouldn't you just go on and give it to him? Why would you feel the need to not name anybody that, you know? Why would you feel the need to do it the way that they've done it?
It's an interesting relationship. It's an interesting relationship with Bowen, right? Shane Bowen was the guy that was an unpaid intern. I mean, Joe Rexroad's article on the 2012 undefeated Ohio State team under Urban Meyer that was ineligible for postseason is a great article if you're an Ohio State fan and you want to learn something about Urban Meyer. But all of the coaching people on that staff, which included Vrabel and Shane Bowen. Shane Bowen at the time was an intern that was sleeping on the floor. Like he was sleeping in the closet in the offices. And Mike Vrabel was in his first year as a coach and had to interview with Urban Meyer twice to get the job. The first time he interviewed with Urban Meyer, he was like, I don't know if you're going to fit here. And Luke Fickell was the one that convinced Urban Meyer, hey, give him a second shot. Give this guy a shot. And only then did Urban Meyer see it in Vrabel. So Vrabel and Bowen have been through a ton together. Like I think there's a lot of trust between Vrabel and Bowen. I think they think the same way. Bowen has learned everything from Vrabel. So I think the relationship is there to where they don't feel like they have to put titles in there and stuff. But we'll see. Well, only time will tell to see if it works on the field.
We'll have former Titans wide receiver Nate Washington join us at 11 o'clock. Our normal weekly chat with Vince Ferrara in Knoxville, by the way, the SEC-CBS schedule has been announced, is Mondays at noon. Yesterday he was doing the midday show on the Sports Animal in Knoxville, so he will join us today at noon, and then we'll go over to West End and we'll talk to Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason at 1 o'clock. But when we come back, Arthur Smith, speaking of, the offensive coordinator for the Titans, spoke via Zoom to the media, and we'll tell you what he had to say. You'll hear that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. That first segment, we spoke about Shane Bowen and Arthur Smith. Both of them spoke to the media this morning prior to our show. Arthur Smith, of course, is the offensive coordinator for the Titans, and here's what he had to say.
Arthur, on Derrick Henry, what does it say for him that despite, you know, getting a big contract in the offseason and, you know, being set as one of the faces of the franchise, that he's determined to improve himself as a pass catcher? And how's he coming along in that regard? Do you feel like that he's going to be used more as a three down back potentially this year in certain situations?
Well, it's always refreshing to hear guys like Derek when they their mindset is to improve. And that's what we preach around here. And that's the same thing for myself. I need to improve as a coach and a play caller as well. So, you know, like all these guys, we just have to see how it goes and how he's evolving. And he's putting a lot of work into it to improve, expand his game, and we'll just see where it goes from here.
Jim, if you could just ask one, Jim, we'll try to get to everybody.
Okay, let me figure out which one I'll pick. I guess I'll go straight to Denver. I mean, how much do you peek ahead, Arthur, to Denver, and is that something you've been doing just during spare time, you know, since – the schedule came out, or just what's that process look like?
Well, obviously, on opening day, there is more time, and you're in training camp mode, and then everybody transitions about this time of year, or you know, maybe they do some projects in the summer. Everybody's game plan is a little bit different, but certainly you feel that, you know, as it gets closer to opening day, you know, it's here. It's, you know, 2 weeks away. So we're definitely looking at Denver. I would assume most teams are doing the same thing.
Teron?
Yeah, this one's actually for Paul. With A.J. Brown, he spoke earlier about wanting to, you know, avoid fatigue later in games and within his routes. Have you seen anything this camp to, you know, give you an indication that, that there has been progression there?
Well, AJ's put in a lot of work. You certainly see it. You know, those rookie, obviously this season's unlike any other in terms of the way the from the draft and the process, but it's a really long year for rookies. You know, as soon as their college season ends, after a bowl game, they go right into a training cycle, go to the combine. They're on the banquet circuit, you know, so to speak, in and out of airports and teams. And then they get into a training, you know, a mini camp, and it just goes, man. It's a really long year. And everybody's obviously different how they handle it. But, you know, with a lot of guys, I think it's going into the second year, they know what to expect. And I think AJ's done a nice job of trying to get himself ready to roll.
Thank you.
David Beauclair.
After back to Denver for a second. How challenging is it going to be to put together a game plan when you haven't really seen anything from their personnel or scheme-wise in the preseason?
Well, I mean, you just kind of go on what you know, like most teams, you go on what people have done in the past, and we got to adapt. If they want to throw something new at us, if they have some new scheme, we're going to have to adapt. And that could also happen, you know, week to week. You know, certain teams that do change it up, and you just got to be prepared to adapt, and you go on what you've known and what you've seen in the past.
John Glennon.
Hey, Arthur, I know this has been a rough off season for the rookie class in general, not having the OTAs, et cetera. Wondering if you could talk about how Darrington Evans has progressed in camp despite that, and then also address how, you know, maybe missing, you know, the last several days might impact his situation also.
What is it to see? You know, I just don't get caught up when somebody's if they're available or not. I mean, I just wait for raves and tell me who's up, who's down, and it's my job to figure out how to use them. And as you watch guys in practice, you know, everybody's at different points. It's hard to compare to any other year, or certainly don't want to compare to other rookies because everybody's different. But when Darrington's been out there, he's making progress, and we'll just have to see. Whenever he's available, I can probably give you a better answer.
Eric?
Hey, Arthur. I wanted to ask about Cody Hollister. I'm just curious about your, assessment of him through camp. And, you know, we know he's got the
I'm sorry. Maybe my computer's messed up. I didn't hear the second half of your question. I apologize.
Sure. We know Cody Hollister has height, but I just wanted to know what else you like about his skill set and just your evaluation through camp.
You know, Cody, he's a dependable guy. He comes out every day, just like a lot of our players. He's looking to improve. He's a tough guy, and he's dependable, and he just tries to improve every day. But he's been reliable.
We can squeeze in this last one, Teron.
As far as Corey Davis is concerned, how has he been this camp, and what are some of signs of progression that you're seeing from him?
Well, he's certainly familiar with what we're asking him, and so, like, you know, going into another year, and the terminology is similar for him. I mean, he's shown progress in it, so. You know, we'll have to see when we get going and we get into the game plan and we get everybody rolling in the same direction and where his role goes from there.
Thank you, Coach.
There you go. Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith speaking to the media this morning. So what did you guys make of that? Anything jump out?
I think it illustrates, you know, something that came out of Joe's article. What the Titans have become pretty good at, which I think you have to in this league, is, you know, not counting on having somebody to play a role. In other words, all the rookies, it's been pretty well documented the last couple of days when we've played some of these, you know, a couple of years ago when Corey Davis came in, you know, got injured right away. Couldn't practice, got way behind. Rashawn Evans got way behind his first year. Now you've got Isaiah Wilson. He's behind. Now Darrington Evans has missed some practices. Christian Fulton. So this happens, right? And there's so it's not smart for a team to sit there and go, okay, I draft Isaiah Wilson. He's going to be my starting tackle day one. You know, I think they're pretty good at coming up with a fluid plan of, okay, maybe the guy grabs the job right away, but what's my plan if he doesn't? And what if that guy doesn't work out? Then what's my plan over here? You know, some of the insight that Joe, I think, has gotten in his articles is pretty good on how they do that. And that's where you have to come up with the Anthony Firksers or, you know, the undrafted guy that somehow just finds his way in there, right? Khalif Raymond. They have gotten pretty good at finding those guys that make up the last third of your roster and you get value. And they have become pretty patient and able to deal with if something like this happens to Evans. I thought Arthur Smith's answer is, hey, I just worry about the guys that come out. They tell me who's up, who's ready to go, and I try to get the most out of them that day. So not putting all your eggs in one basket on one guy is probably a smart thing. I think we all were hoping that by this time Darrington Evans was going to be that real special change of pace guy that's ready to go. He may not play against the Broncos, right? Is that fair to say? It's a possibility. He's not going to be ready to contribute that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess a positive, if you want to call it that, out of it is the last few days we've seen them using Derrick Henry more in a pass catching role, and he's been practicing that. And I know that that's always been a knock on him, that's not a huge part of his game, but that is where I really like Arthur Smith and how he approaches this. Is he looks at it and goes, all right, like you just said, what I have available, all right, well, I have the leading rusher in the league. I know he can catch passes, so let's amp that up a little bit and get him some reps doing that, and that's what they've done. So that could be the plus side of it. Now, you still want Darrington Evans to be a part of this offense, but because the thing that continues to stand out to me is just the rookies, and I think that's something that all teams are going to have to deal with. But it's also Arthur Smith is more comfortable now. He's confident, and he's able to adapt with whatever is thrown his way.
I want to play something, but we're searching for it. Morning Drive, Robbie and Joe played it this morning. In fact, it was, I think, the start of the last segment before leading up to us. Our buddy Kyle Brandt, who we have on all the time on Good Morning Football on NFL Network, said this, and I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday. Elijah Marquise is saying he pulled it from YouTube.
I actually have it up right now.
You have it. Okay. So this is our buddy Kyle Brandt, who comes on with us from time to time. We always enjoy our chats with him. And here's what he had to say about Leonard Fournette getting cut by Jacksonville and where he thinks he could go next.
There's not a lot of teams that need a pure feature back. They have a full open job there, except for maybe the Jaguars. So in terms of a tandem, I got it right here. This one is so hilarious. Send them here. Keep them in the division. Put them with King Henry. Because what do Titan running backs do when they get out of bed in the morning? They punch Jaguars in the face before they even have their Cocoa Puffs. Can you imagine this dude and Fournette going against the Jaguars, going against that entire division? Oh, Derrick Henry's a little bit tired. Let's put in Leonard Fournette and continue to bludgeon the bejesus out of them. This is the one I want. Keep in the division. Play the Jags twice. They didn't want you? Well, I hope they want a knuckle sandwich like the one that Derrick Henry hands out every single year. Henry Fournette, I would do a backflip for it right here on camera. Probably blow out my hamstrings, Adams, but I'll do it anyway.
That's what I was thinking, Kyle. Run game is so
okay.
Important to this
yeah.
team. You
look yeah, that's good. That's good. So we can laugh because we've had a lot of interaction with Kyle Brandt, and he does a tremendous job. He's witty. He's funny. He's a smart guy, and I know a lot of that was probably – or some of that was tongue-in-cheek, having fun with it, which he always does. But I'm just going to flat-out ask you guys. I know most people are going to hear that and go, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. I didn't do that at all. Why is that crazy for a year? I get it. You drafted Darrington Evans. Who knows what he's going to be? He's a rookie. He's never even seen the field. We have no idea if this guy is going to be a good pick, a bad pick, needs time, when he's going to factor into this offense. Leonard Fournette, as we discussed yesterday when we went down to Jacksonville, they're on the hook for $4 million. So it's not like Leonard Fournette, he's going to be getting paid from two places, Jacksonville and whoever his next stop is. And if it's just for a year, I ask you, is it really crazy to think about that, at least be talking about that behind closed doors, Fournette and Henry in the backfield?
Maybe it's worthy of discussion. I would say it's not worth having him at $4 million to be your backup.
Okay, what if it was $2
million? Well, if he clears waivers, which I'm guessing we'll find out here in the next couple hours, right, if somebody picked him up on the waiver wire, if he becomes a free agent and nobody wants him, if he's sitting on the street and you can get him for a song, then maybe I would look at it. But what's Leonard Fournette's attitude going to be? And here's the other part of it. Can your backup tailback be worthy of a roster spot? Is he going to play special teams? Is he going to cover kicks? All of that stuff, which the Titans value greatly. I just don't see that as a fit.
Yeah, and what is it that John Robinson always says? Team first, guys. And I don't know, based on some of the things that, you know, we've seen over the years in Jacksonville from Leonard Fournette, that he necessarily fits that mold.
Okay, that is fair to bring up. But here's my counter. Can we really blame players? Because how is it? It's not isolated. It's not an anomaly. We went through this yesterday with, was it Tony Smith we had on?
Yep.
He's player after player after player after player. They went to the league about the culture in Jacksonville. They went to the league about that organization, the players. So is it the players, or is it the organization, or is it both? I don't know. I'm saying it's not just Leonard Fournette that has had that theme about the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. He's not been the only disgruntled guy. In Ndakwe, the reason he was traded is because he said, get me out of here. I'll take less money and sign with the Vikings. He took less money to go to Minnesota just to get out of Jacksonville. Jalen Ramsey, get me out of here.
He did not take less money.
No, but he said, get me out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. So I'm not saying Leonard Fournette, I don't know what he is or isn't. I'm saying, can't we really judge a player coming out of Jacksonville as a disgruntled guy or not a team guy when there seems to be littered with guys coming out of there going, get me the heck out of here?
I think you're making good points, Darren, but I think the fact is, unless you're going to use him, like where would you use him? If Derrick Henry is healthy, would you use him?
Okay. How many catches do you think Leonard Fournette had? If you're looking and you're cheating, let me know. But if you're guessing, I want you to guess.
I have closed his stats. I had him up, but I didn't look at the receiving.
How many catches do you think he had last year?
No, I understand. He's an underrated pass catcher.
Well, what do you think
Tony,
he had?
Tony brought that up last year.
Like 20 or 30 is a good number, right? Like that's a pretty good number. If you had 30 catches as a running back, a featured running back.
I would say he had 19.
19. What do you think, Willie?
He had a lot more than that, but this goes back to he was the featured back. He was playing basically every down. So how many is it? It's probably a lot more than 19. I'll say 40.
76.
Last year you had 76?
76 receptions last year. Isn't that why they have Darrington Evans here?
So you're going to bring him in as a third down back?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Or if insurance? Is it worth $2 million to have insurance for your feature back, your stud running back? Is that worth $2 million to you?
Especially this year.
That becomes the question. Is what do you have in your budget? Does there become a price where he's such a bargain, you got to do it? But part of it is on Fournette. If you had maybe a job interview with him and said, hey, Leonard, are you willing to come in here and be insurance / a role player, third down back? Would you cover kicks? All of these things. That's really what the job is. That's the job description.
Well, I don't know if he has to cut. You're not cutting Darrington Evans.
Well, that's just it. So then you're clogging your roster even more if the guy's not going to play special teams. Because then you're saying he's your third running back. Or that Evans is your third running back.
But don't they normally carry three running backs?
And a lot of teams carry.
Yeah, but usually the third guy covers kicks or figures in on special teams somewhere.
Darrington Evans.
Evans is going to cover kicks.
He's a rookie. He's going to do whatever he has to do.
Yeah.
And
you don't think he's going to play special teams? I
hope he does. I don't know. Did he in college?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I didn't watch a lot of App State games, but you know.
By
the way, when they were playing Michigan last year, didn't they play Michigan last year, or was that Army? I guess that was Army. The overtime. I was at the Akron game. I was at a game when that game was going on. Right, it wasn't App State. It was Army. That's right. When they almost beat Michigan in the Big House.
Mm-hmm.
App State has beaten Michigan over the years. But I don't know. I would just assume he's playing special teams. That's typically what rookies do, as we just talked about, unless you're Isaiah Wilson. He's not playing special teams. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying it's going to be real easy for everybody to go, come on. I say, really? Why would you dismiss that if you can get him on the – is it worth $2 or $3 million if you could get Fournette here to have insurance, a guy who can catch the ball? Oh, by the way, you know his body of work. We have no idea what Darrington Evans is. No clue if whether he can cut it in this league or not. And by the way, so he has to wait a year. What if he hardly plays this year? So what? It's a year. You know what you have in Leonard Fournette.
You make some – so, full disclosure, I haven't thought about this until you brought it up. It wasn't even a thought for me of the Titans signing him. But the points that you have made, you now have me thinking. I'm not saying do it or don't do it yet. I'm thinking about it because of some of the things that you have pointed out. The big one that has popped up is when you say insurance, in 2020, insurance is more important than ever because who knows if – you know, right before the Denver game, Derrick Henry tests positive for COVID and can't play. And if you have Leonard Fournette, you know you have a guy that can be your featured back. So I look at it from that standpoint and go, okay, not a bad idea. If you're Arthur Smith and you like to get creative, you draw up some packages where they're on the field at the same time. Defense is going to look at that and go, oh, crap. What does this mean? What do we have to look for here? Even if one of them's just a decoy. Are they both decoys? There are a lot of positives, but I do go back to John Robinson and his track record of signing players. Now, Vic Beasley, I think is, and it's not working yet, but that's an exception to the rule because Vic Beasley did have some stuff that people talked about that didn't really fit the mold of a player that John Robinson liked to sign, and he did it anyway. So maybe he is kicking the tires on some of these guys that are disgruntled or however you want to put it. But I do have to factor that in no matter what the price is, that John's going to do his homework and go, all right, if I bring this guy into this locker room, what is that going to do?
So Derrick Henry had 18 catches last year. So we know Christian McCaffrey was the best, right? He had an unbelievable season. He had 116 catches as a running back. Aaron Jones, I had him on my fantasy team. I know how big of a stud he was last year. He can do everything, right? Aaron Jones had 49 catches last year. Ezekiel Elliott can do everything. True stud running back. He had 54 catches last year. Dalvin Cook is a stud running back, went on the field and healthy. He can do everything. He had 53 catches last year. Leonard Fournette had 76. The only other running back besides Christian McCaffrey who had more was Austin Eckler with the Chargers. He had 92.
And I just looked this up. Darrington Evans did return.
I take that back. Kamara had 81. My bad. Okay. He was behind Kamara, too. 81 was Kamara.
Darrington Evans did return kicks at App State all 3 years.
I'm talking about covering kicks.
I knew he did returns. That's right. I should have said that because I knew he did returns when you said special. I was in the mindset of playing special teams. Yeah, he was a return guy.
Yeah.
I number one, I think somebody's going to I think somebody's going to pick him up and give him a chance to have a bigger role than what the Titans would be doing. I would love to have Leonard Fournette as, in a perfect world, insurance, a backup, you know, maybe a little mix of a third down back. But I don't think that's what Leonard Fournette thinks he is at this point in his career. It's not like he's 30 years old and is looking for one more kick at the can. I think he feels like he's in the prime of his career. Now, if he's just sitting there without a job in a week and he wants to come play for a winner, then I think it makes a lot of sense. But I think the price has got to come down some. I think you want, as Chase, you just pointed out, you want some fluidness. And you can't have too much money in an insurance policy because you need all the cap room that you can get because you have to be prepared to go a lot of different ways this year. Plus, the other part of it is, what's going on with Clowney? Are you saving some of your cap space here to try to make a run at him? If so, you may not have as much for that.
Yeah,
type
but
of.
At some
if you,
point,
but if you don't go after Clowney, maybe you have more room in your cap to invest in a quote insurance policy.
Would you say the Titans are a run first team?
Yeah,
they are run heavy team.
Yes,
of course.
Why not have the best 1-2 punch in the NFL?
Because you don't need a 1-2 punch. You got the one.
But what does it hurt? Why would you not? It's not like you're saying pay him $12 million. One year, $2 or $3 million, it's not worth it to have the best combo in the league? Oh, by the way, in a pandemic, not knowing if anyone could test positive, not knowing the injury. Yeah, Derrick Henry, luckily, thankfully, doesn't have a ton of that. But what
if
he does?
You really think he would choose to do that? Don't you think he's going to get a bigger opportunity from somebody to be more?
Why haven't they claimed him?
Well, we don't know yet. It's been, 20? I mean, it's 24 hours you're on the waiver wire, and then it gets revealed if somebody put a waiver claim in on him.
And maybe he does. But what I'm just asking, what if he's out there? I don't think it's crazy at all. I think
he'll have more than one opportunity.
I don't know his. You're asking me, do I know what his choice would be? Well, I have no idea. But it would be attractive to come to a team that in your own division that just went to the AFC Championship game and the team that beat you down traditionally and a team that's going to play your former team that just cut you twice a year or twice this season. I think there's a lot of attractive things about this market and the Titans. I mean, if you're asking me, you know, I don't know what he wants. If it's between Washington and my, you know, I don't know. Give me another team. Washington, the Jets, and Tennessee. Where are you going?
I don't know. All I know is if things work out the way the Titans want them to work out, Derrick Henry is going to get the ball 300 to 320 times carrying the ball. It just doesn't leave a lot of touches for Leonard Fournette.
Well, you adjust. If you make that commitment, that you have to understand, and Derek has to understand, that you're going to make adjustments from that standpoint.
Why would you want to adjust? He's the most dominant running back in the game.
I understand, Willie. I'm trying to answer your question. If they bring him in, to me, that says we're taking carries away from 22. That's what it says.
I don't want to do that. I want number 22 with the ball. Now, if he gets hurt, that's a – If it's truly an insurance policy, that's fine. But I don't think that's attractive to Leonard Fournette. Leonard, you had over 1,000 yards last year. You're an insurance policy.
He just got cut 24 hours ago. Jacksonville just said, we don't even want you. Get lost.
I know, but you just got done talking about
him.
He had over 1,100 rushing yards and 76 catches. That's going to be attractive to somebody. He thinks he is more than an insurance policy, I think, in his mind. He's probably glad that he got cut.
I'm sure he is.
The theme is most that leave Jacksonville are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you just got done saying that. You're making my argument for me. Why would he want to come in and be an insurance policy?
I don't know. Why would he not?
And why would the Titans want to alter their guy that they just made a $25 million investment in for Leonard Fournette? I got Derrick Henry. That's the man. I'm going to use him.
So you don't want insurance. You don't want
to
what? So if Derrick Henry goes down, you're just fine. Darrington Evans, here you go. Just take over. You're good with that.
No, not at all.
Okay.
But I'll cross that bridge by Fournette. I just can't. I'd love to have a $3 million backup at every position.
Are you
good
with
Fournette?
Would you trust him then? Do you feel like you could not miss a beat if Derrick Henry needed to miss two games with Fournette in the backfield?
Darren, you can't have a $2 or $3 million backup at every position.
Sure, you can. Well, you can at an important position like running back when you're a run heavy team. You are a run heavy team. They are a run first team. They're all about running the football. So guess what? If you're going to have insurance, you better have it in the running game.
And they have the cap room.
They're not Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. They're not slinging it 50 times a game.
I'd rather use that money on the defense. I'd rather go for Clowney myself.
Well, you could.
Who says you can't do both?
Yeah, you could do both.
Well, I don't know the numbers that well. I don't know if you could do that. It would seem like if you made those two moves, you would be kind of up against it. You would start to have a little less flexibility in your cap. I don't know that. Maybe some spot rack expert can tell me.
$2 or $3 more million on top of a Clowney deal is going to
Darren. This is great.
Wreck it for you.
If they no, I would listen. I would love to have it if in a perfect world, but I just don't see it. I don't see it.
What is a perfect world? Free? What do you want? Free?
That's my point. There's a salary cap. There is a salary cap, and you can't get everything you want in your roster. There's not enough room for all this stuff.
Okay. It depends on the price. If he clears waivers and goes a week, I mean, because that's the other part of this. He's not going to, if the Titans just show up tomorrow and go, all right, $2.5 million 1 year to come with us, he's not going to sign that right away because he's going to see what else is out there. So you have to be willing, and I guess they would be, to wait it out like you've done with others and then see what happens there, kick the tires on it, but I wouldn't go above that. I above $3 million.
You wouldn't do $3 million?
I would probably stop at three. That's fine.
I'm okay stopping at three. But if you can get him for $3 million or less, I'm saying why in the world would you not? That makes no sense. Why you wouldn't? What harm? It's a season to protect your biggest asset, your franchise player. I don't know how anybody could be poo-poo that. It doesn't make any sense why you wouldn't be interested in that. Like I said, there's a lot of variables I don't know. I don't know if he's a good guy or not. I'm not going to judge him by his experience in Jacksonville. Everybody leaves Jacksonville, you know, portrayed a certain way because it seems like that place is a cesspool. It's not a good place to be. They want out. They don't want any part of it. We just had the description yesterday. Tony Smith painted it. It's not good. It's a very, very dark, grim picture of life in Jacksonville right now. It's not a good place to be other than it's a nice, pretty city. But for the football team, it's not a good picture.
Right.
So I'm not going to hold that to him. I don't know what he's like. I'm just saying if you are a run-heavy team and your offense is predicated on the run and being successful in the run to set up everything else, you have the opportunity. If you had the opportunity at a reasonable price, we'll cap it at $3 million to ensure your franchise player. Look, I know they paid Tannehill. Derrick Henry is the franchise. He is the franchise. To protect him just in case and to use him to catch the ball, I say, why in the world would you not?
You have to ask the question, and I know your answer. I know what you're going to say, but I'm curious of what Willie says. Anytime a player comes up that, okay, should the Titans sign him, trade for him, whatever, the question has to be, does this person make your team better? Jadeveon Clowney, we all agree, if they sign him, makes them better. No, I mean, even if he's not the same Jadeveon Clowney he has been in the past, he makes them better. If they sign Leonard Fournette, no matter what the price is, does he make the Titans better than they already are?
Of course he does, but that's not really what it comes down to. It's do you have room to make that investment? I don't know the cap space they have. I'm sure they have the cap space to sign Leonard Fournette, but is that the best use of your funds? I don't see it. I just don't think it's a great fit. I don't think Leonard Fournette would be thrilled to come here under that role. Now, if Derrick Henry gets hurt in some form in week one and he's sitting out there, then I think you spend whatever you need to spend to get him. That would be a different scenario there. But I just don't see the fit in being a role player slash insurance policy. I mean, it sounds great, but I just don't see Fournette being interested in that.
Do you think that position you just said played out pretty well at quarterback last year for them? How'd you think having that insurance and that role player just sitting there, how do you think that worked out for them? Do you think they would have gone where they did if they didn't have Ryan Tannehill?
Definitely not.
How did that insurance policy work out?
I think I got a little better idea of what Derrick Henry is right now than they had of Marcus Mariota. They had questions about Marcus Mariota going into the season last year.
Ryan Tannehill was thrown to the scrap heap too. Same deal. Miami threw him to the scrap heap, and Tennessee pounced on it in a trade. Jacksonville just did the same thing to Fournette.
But they really needed the insurance policy. That was a smart move because they weren't sure that Mariota could do it. They've just invested Derrick Henry to be their franchise guy. They're bell cow. He is the man. That's a huge investment. So I don't know. I mean, I'd love to have the insurance policy, but I think that's a luxury that you have other needs on the roster where that money could be much better spent to me. And you can find another guy to fill the gap for a couple weeks. And if Derrick Henry goes down, then you're in big trouble regardless.
We have a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's one season, Willie, for a Super Bowl run and revenge tour.
But Leonard Fournette's got to be interested. Now, you guys are assuming that nobody's going to want Leonard Fournette. If that's the case, then yeah, I'm all for it. I'd love that. But I just feel like he's going to have options. I got to believe there's going to be a lot of teams that are interested in him.
And you may be right. I think, listen, guys, if
his phone's not ringing and the Titans take a flyer on him, I'm all for it. I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that want him. I could be wrong.
I don't know one way or
the other. 76 catches and over 1,000 yards rushing at his age? I mean, come on. Somebody's got to want him.
I simply presented it if he was available. That's all I did. I don't know. Maybe there's a long line of people waiting for his services. I don't know. I'm simply saying if he's available.
Well, let's have this conversation in a week if he's unsigned. My gut feeling is he'll be signed within 24 hours by somebody.
I don't think we're having this conversation a week from now. There will be closure one way or the other. Well before a week from now.
Right, and that's my point is I don't think it's a priority right now to go out and try to make a play for him. I would wait till the dust settles, and if he's still sitting there, then okay, let's talk.
That's scary.
I'm not making a move right now to say we gotta go out and get Leonard Fournette. I'm much more concerned about the Clowney situation. Not that you couldn't do both, but I don't see a huge need to have Leonard Fournette right now. I'm not seeing it.
Scared money never wins at the tables. I'm just telling you. Scared money doesn't win.
Smart money does.
You got sounds like scared money over there. Scared.
No, smart.
Okay. We'll come back. Nate Washington, former Titans wide receiver, will join us. We'll tell you about his new venture, of course, right here on 102.5 The Game. And we'll talk a little bit about the Titans and this upcoming season with him to start the second hour. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.